much better. Yes, thank you for asking. I appreciate that. I do. Yeah, for those of you coming to the meeting on Saturday, don't worry. It was only a flesh wound. That's right. I'm fine. I don't need quarantine. Maybe yesterday I did. Oh, man. While I was doing that show yesterday, I had the chills. I was so sick. I was ready to collapse. But before I did collapse, which I did, I went to bed shortly after the show yesterday. I went and I took a hot shower because I was chilled. It was 80 degrees and I had the chills and I was just, my teeth were almost chattering. So I got in the shower, turned it on as hot as it would go, with steam flying all over the place, looked like the middle of a volcano. And I was just in there going, oh, it was, felt so good. If Waylon and Regina had been outside the door, they would have thought Zender had gone Pentecostal on them. I was in there going, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Because the contrast of having been chilled and now getting that boiling hot water, it just, the contrast was delicious. And I remember thinking in there, I remember thinking that I was thankful that I had been chilled. Isn't that weird? I was thankful for being chilled because without being chilled, I would not have been luxuriating in that hot water. And of course, you can follow this out, I think, to the big picture of the contrast of going from misery to ecstasy. And if I could sense that in the shower, for the love of God, how much greater is that ecstasy going to be when we're snatched away to be with Christ? You might say, well, yeah, I can see, you know, being thankful for having the chills because, you know, you're going into the hot shower. Maybe you only had the chills for a few minutes, but surely you're not suggesting, Mr. Zender, that we are going to justify God or be thankful for the horrendous things we've been through down here. Yes, you will. It's a matter of degree. That's all it is. It's a matter of degree. The degree between having the chills and getting in the hot shower, the glory of the resurrection is going to be far greater than a hot shower. Therefore, it's going to have a corresponding appreciation of the trials that took to get there, namely all the crap that's happening in your life. Yeah, too, when I was in the shower, I was thinking of that of Nathanael, you know, when Jesus found Nathanael and he comes up to him and he says, lo, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael was so impressed. He goes, how do you know me? And Jesus said, well, when I was like in the next town over, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael starts going, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. He gets all excited and Jesus kind of like, you're getting this bent out of shape just because I saw you under the fig tree? He says, you're going to see greater miracles than this. That's John 1:47. It was just so funny. I think our expectations are so low in this life that it doesn't take much to thrill us. You see how we've been primed to really luxuriate in so little, I think. Those of us who are attuned to God, we appreciate these small things. I guess we just, I've come to expect failure and misery and suffering in this life. And when good things happen, we're learning to like, oh my gosh, that's the best thing ever. A hot shower. Oh, I love you, hot shower. And Nathanael, it was the same way. Here's a guy who saw me under the fig tree. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. Jesus kind of laughs at him and says, you ain't seen nothing yet, kid. So we haven't seen anything yet either. All right, if you go to martinzender.com where you are now, if you click on Zenderville, you will be under the misconception that I'm on vacation out here. I'm not. I'm working hard. I'm heralding the word. And yesterday was a great example of it. Well, yeah, I am sort of enjoying the company of my hosts here. And I'm enjoying the weather. Gotta admit that. But I'm also working. Yesterday was a very rewarding day. Brian and Ryan and Colette came over and really they went away satisfied. I love that. They traveled 2.5 hours, drove across the state from Sarasota to ask questions, and they went away satisfied. The gospel of Paul went out to them, and it didn't come out through some genius presentation of mine. It came out because the gospel itself has power. Now, you know, I'm an unashamed workman and I've studied this gospel to understand the essence of it. And I've been given the gift of being able to clear the crap away from it and present it as purely and simply as possible. And when left alone, the gospel has power. And Ryan said something very interesting. He said, As you were speaking, it felt like that truth was for me, that truth of the grace of God coming into a place of no working, of no signs, no miracles. He said, I felt like that truth hit me right in the chest. This was the young guy, Ryan, and it was so satisfying to hear that. The Word of God has power. And Colette, I remember at one point her eyes were really big, and it's almost as if she were hearing her evangel for the first time. I'm not saying that was the first time, but it looked to me like she was coming into a greater level of realization of the truth. And that's Paul's great prayer for us, isn't it? He wants us to come to a revelation and realization of the truth, and that's done by heralding. Now, speaking of heralding, we're in 2 Timothy here, and I want to go to verse 3 of chapter 2. Paul tells Timothy, suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier of Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like a great job description. Yes, what can I expect from this line of work? Well, you're going to suffer great evil. When can I start? Doesn't generally happen that way. But that's because this is a call that has great reward in the next life, not necessarily this one. Well, there are some rewards, like when you see people coming to a realization of the truth before your eyes, but otherwise it's very hard. Paul told Timothy he was going to endure hardness, and Timothy did not necessarily like that, and I think that's why we see Paul writing him this letter. There's one reason this comforts me, and that's the fact that it's expected. This is the way God operates. He didn't spare his own son suffering, and he's not going to spare us suffering either. You know, in 1 Peter, Peter talks about not to be shocked or surprised by this fiery affliction you're enduring, and he's basically saying this is how God operates. This is how he does it. Paul gives us a similar exhortation in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, he says, no one is to be swayed by these afflictions. Now, I think Timothy was being swayed. I think Timothy saw Paul in jail. He saw all the suffering he endured, and he thought, maybe this isn't for me. But Paul says, I don't want you to be swayed. He's writing to the Thessalonians in this case, by these afflictions, for you yourselves are aware that we are located for this. I love that. I don't love it. I love the revelation that God locates us for this. It's no accident, in other words. We are located for this. It's as if God has this suffering GPS, this affliction, persecution, GPS locator thing, and it finds these areas of affliction and persecution and distress, and then he sends his little servants over there into that zone so that they can suffer distress and affliction and persecution. I don't mean to be flippant about that, because it is graciously granted us to be suffering these things. Philippians 1:29, it is graciously granted to you not only to be believing in him, but to be suffering for his sake also. So it's a great gift, and you're located for it. And Timothy was located for it. Paul says to Timothy, you are going to endure hardness. That's why you have to be strong. You're going to suffer evil as an ideal soldier. Now, not everyone is a soldier. I realize that. This letter, I think, is especially for those who are laboring in the Word to study it and to bring it to others. Again, I want to tell you more about this next week, but this is a letter that comforted me and that really fueled me and that gave me the courage to quit the Postal Service back on October 1st, 1993. And I've been doing this full-time ever since. So this letter is a great comfort to me. And I think it'll be a comfort to you in whatever level you're studying the Word and heralding it. You don't have to have dedicated your life to Paul's gospel, but if you're working with this Word at all, and if you're suffering the persecution which comes with heralding it, then this letter is a comfort to you. Now, not everybody's into this, I know. I've had people tell me, I just want to believe the message. I'm not interested in suffering, not interested in persecution. Don't need to talk about it all the time. Well, that's fine. That's your call. I think you'll even find some comfort here. No, maybe you won't. I don't know. 2 Timothy is for those who are suffering persecution in a day of apostasy. Now, Paul gives three examples here to illustrate the endurance, the faithfulness, and the patience that are needed in days of ruin and days of apostasy. Now, once again, I'm taking these studies from Clyde Pilkington's excellent book, The Church in Ruins, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's Last Letter to the Church. You can order this at studyshelf.com, and I encourage you to do so. Paul gives the example of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer in 2 Timothy. We're going to look next week into each of these three examples, of the example of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, and we're going to find out that there's a different aspect of difficulty with each occupation. The soldier has a difficulty that the athlete doesn't have and that the farmer doesn't have. And we're going to find out what character each one of these roles will produce in a person. And then we're going to find out the goal, because we're not in this to suffer for the sake of suffering. Yes, we want our character to be built, but that's God's department. I don't find myself praying to God, "Dear God, please develop my character." I do want him to, but it's really hard to ask that directly, because you know that's the slammer jammer is going to be coming. That's just the way it works. Character is produced on the anvil of affliction. Doink, doink, doink. I don't want that, but it comes anyway. And, you know, it's always the thing of thy will, not mine, be done. If you must produce a fine character in me, then do what it takes, God. I'd like to avoid it if I can, but not my will, but thine be done. And then we're going to see the goal that these things produce. That's what we're all interested in, the goal. Not only the goal of being resurrected, vivified, made immortal with our Lord and Savior, but there are one of these goals from these three examples will apply to your life now. We're all located for suffering to one degree or another. Thank God that we don't have to go through this by ourselves. We have each other, and if we didn't have each other, I know I would have given up on this a long time ago. We're in the home stretch. We're athletes racing for the tape. Let's not quit now. We're almost finished. I'm going to see you back here Monday. Have a great weekend.